to being promoted to heaven. Book of Proverbs said something most of us don't grasp. It's like a weaver's shuttle. If you've ever seen one of those old weaver's shuttles operating, it's a blur. It's going so fast, it's a blur. When I look back over the years, celebrating January 40 years of pastorate, it's a blur. It's not divided into distinct areas. It's just that fast and that quick. My dad was 93 when he was promoted, and he'll tell you, all of it was just a blur. And it's not enough. It's not enough. God did not design us for the short trip, but for the long term. He designed us for eternity. So we're grateful today for His design and what He's done to make sure that those that trust in Him will live eternally with Him. Praise God. This is not the memorial service. And for those of you that don't know yet, Elizabeth went to be with the Lord Thursday, sometime probably early in the wee hours, because around 11 o'clock she was in communication with people, doing fine. But Thursday she went to be with the Lord. While she slept, she woke up in heaven instead of here. And I know her. I know her well enough over the years to know what a joy that was for her. It isn't for us, but it is for her. We just share her joy, amen, today. Amen. Because she had a longing to be with the Lord. And as her, let me tell you something about the prayers that God did answer down through the years. She was told by a doctor that she would not live. And Jessica, her daughter, who's in the medical field, couple of times when I went to the hospital to visit her, Jessica was there, and I would say, Jessica, what did the doctor say? And I said, well, the doctor says, you know, she's not, you know, just get ready, get everybody ready, get the family ready, because she's not going to. Well, she would come to church, we would pray, I prayed there, you prayed here, she would come out, she would come back. She had that, she made me smile every Sunday. And she carried the burden of a physical disability, a heart that the grace of God in answered prayer. The doctor told her years ago, I'm talking about way back, that she would never, and told Jessica, told the family, she will never live to see 50 years old. She had just turned 57 by the grace and goodness of our God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's a young age to go home to us who are up in our 60s and 70s, but in her case, with the disability she had physically, it's just the grace and mercy of the Lord. But as those problems begin to just seem to multiply in her body, she had a longing. A real longing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That was her longing in her heart. And she, if I could choose a way to go home, I would choose the way that God allowed her to come to Him. And that's not hooked up to a bunch of stuff in a hospital, languishing somewhere in a hospice. It was just she went to sleep looking forward to getting up and getting some coffee in her Keurig, in her new coffee maker. They bought her coffee. They had a coffee cup that said, "It's all about me," for her birthday. Amen. And we kidded her. But you know something? If you really got to know her and you talked to her, we kidded her a lot. But it wasn't about her. It was about Jesus. And she's the first one that would tell you, it's all about Jesus Christ. Amen. If it was about her, she would have come in here depressed every Sunday about her physical problems. But it was all about Jesus, and she came in here smiling and made you and me smile Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And when I felt bad a lot of Sundays, you know, that I came in thinking about something that I was going through, I would see her smiling and always had that that sense of humor. And I would say, you know something, with all she's got going on, and she's still trusting God, and she still has the joy of Jesus in her heart, to show you just what kind of joy she had. And I'm going to take this time because she's worth it today, and we need to understand something. I was told that while they were out to eat one Sunday, she always went out to eat. She said, "My chest is so heavy. My chest is so heavy," because that heart thing would act up. And they said, "Well, quit eating." And you know, she said, "Well, if I'm going to have a heart attack, I'm going to have it on a full stomach." That's the way she was. You could not quench her joy. You couldn't do it. That couldn't do it. So all of you here this morning that are carrying burdens, that we all have something that we carry that we need to continue to give to God, to roll over on the Lord. Amen. If she could do that under those conditions, we here with our problems, I believe we need to get our focus on Jesus and off of ourselves, and thank the Lord for those years that God gave her, that the doctors just scratched their head. How is she still living? She's living because it wasn't time. And when it became time, then it was okay with her. It's okay with God, and it's grace. And yes, amen. And His grace was available, and it's active, and it was there Thursday morning when I met with everybody while they'd just taken her away. The grace of God was on every person standing there. There's a bitterness, but there's also a sweetness, amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to see the pearly gates. I mean, the city has got to be a knockout. I mean, the city, as John described it, foundations of precious stones, gates of solid pearl, 12 gates to the city, all carved from a pearl, not pearl encrusted, but God made a big pearl and carved a gate from it. Amen. And I haven't seen it yet, but that's a depiction of Ditter getting the robe that she will wear throughout eternity. It's called a robe of righteousness that we have spiritually here, but we will have an actual robe there. Amen. And I like that. I appreciate that. Amen. Yes, sir. Just fell dead. Life is life. I guess one of the biggest understatements I've seen. It's a cute thing in the Christian bookstore, embroidered. It says, "Life is fragile, handled with prayer." Life is fragile, and we need to handle it with prayer and count it precious every day we have, and count the people. Look to the right and the left of you, and around here at people, the people,
yes.
People. That's what it's all about. It's not about things. There's a gospel of things, and as if homes and lands and material possessions are more important than people. Jesus didn't die just to give us homes and lands and things. He'll take good care of you, don't get me wrong. But that's not why He died. He died so that He could do what He did for Elizabeth Baldry and for the rest of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to begin this service. It is a bittersweet time, and I'm not going to try to make it anything else. Someone was weeping today because they hadn't heard yet, and I told them, "You go ahead. It's appropriate. Amen. It's all right." But there's a joy of knowing Jesus Christ and an appreciation for what He did at Calvary for all of us and what it means. Amen. Because we're on a short journey down here, and God has been so good. Every day of my life, I thank Him. I told a preacher the other day that I rode to make a video with that went up on, well, it went to 100-something nations, actually. And as I was on my way to the studio to make that video, I told him, if somebody cuts me off in traffic now, I don't get mad. I just drive around and park way out if I have to. It's okay. The walk is good for me as long as I keep a good attitude. Amen. And I want to do my best to keep a good attitude, because attitude, when it gets right down to it, is going to determine the outcome.
That's right.
Say that with me this morning before we even pray. Attitude. is going to determine your outcome. That's why James chapter 1 said, my beloved brethren, count it. This is attitude. Now, this is something nobody can do for you, and it's not going to happen. Everything ain't going to be fine all the time, but count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, many different kinds of testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith and mine worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work. That means, you know what one translation said, one paraphrase? Don't always try to wiggle out of your trial. Thank you for those muffled amens this morning. At least you're trying. Don't always try to just get out of it. Get close to God and let Him take you through it and give you victory. Can you say amen? My beloved brethren, count it all joy when you fall into many different kind of temptations and testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience cooperate with God in this thing. Keep your trust in Him. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen? Now, this is a wisdom that is not the general wisdom that we seek from the Lord. Christ has made to us wisdom, but this is not that wisdom. This is specific wisdom to how to handle trials and tests and temptations when they come, because they're going to come to every person on this planet. And we need to know how to handle it, and we need wisdom in that matter. Amen. If any man lack wisdom in general wisdom, no, specific to trials and tests, let him ask of God, that giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth. And when you're being tested like this, that's when there's a danger of wavering and questioning God instead of trusting God. Can you say amen? He that wavereth is like the wave of the sea. Now the circumstances govern everything that happens in your life. Driven by the wind and tossed. Don't let that man expect to receive anything from God. I never want to be in the condition that I can't receive the grace and mercy and help that I need. I never want to be questioning God and saying, Lord, and instead of trusting Him. Amen? You can choose for yourself. I don't want to get in that condition, because I can't be in a place where God cannot reach me. I need His help every day. And I refuse to give up and give in, no matter if I understand or not, because I know He's on the throne and I know He's good and His mercy endures forever. Can you say amen? So when I don't know what to say, I just say, the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Can you say amen? Let's lift Him up, Brother Taylor. Will you come? And let's give God praise. There will be a funeral at 1 p.m. Tuesday at Loyola's Funeral Home. Can you just give that?
Monday night is the viewing from 6 to 8 at Loyola's in Land O'Lakes. It's on Land O'Lakes Boulevard. Doug has some maps to pass out for those that aren't familiar with that area. And then Tuesday will be the funeral at 1 p.m. And after church today, when everything's done, if I can get some of the ladies to meet with me, and we're going to instruct on, who that can make food or prepare something to take out.
And you're going to coordinate that right after church today. All right. And there's some maps here for those who need it after church. You can get with our brother Doug, and it's easy to find. And we've been there before. And I'm sure if the Lord tarries, we're going to be there again. Amen. Someplace or another like that. But God is good today. Brother Taylor, would you lead us to the throne?
Amen. The Lord is so good, isn't He? Amen. You know, we're sure going to miss, and we're missing already, Ditter. She was really a great lady. Amen. That sense of humor, she loved, and she helped a lot of us. So let's remember the family in prayer. Amen. God is faithful, isn't it? And we're sad, we're sorrowful. But the word of God say, hallelujah, we don't sorrow as do others that have no hope. We have hope, don't we? And we'll see her again. If we live for the Lord, we'll see her again on the other side. Amen. Let's talk to the Lord. My Father, we sure thank You. and praise your name this morning. We magnify your name, Lord. Although we're sad, Lord God, but we can be happy because we know our sister is at home with you, Lord. And Lord, that's what we all are striving for, Lord God, to live for you and to obey your voice. That when you come and get us, Lord, we'll be home with you, Lord. Move by thy spirit today, Lord God. Have your way, Lord God. Set us free from everything that's not like you, Lord. Cleanse us, Eloma. Cleanse us, oh my, through the water of the washing of the water by the word. Move by thy spirit. Help us to look to thee and stand on your word, knowing that you'll never fail. You're faithful and true, Lord God. Move in this service. Have your way, Lord. Meet every need this present, God. If there are any unsaved, save them. Fill them with the Holy Ghost and meet our needs today, God. In Jesus' name we pray for the glory of God. Amen.
Let's magnify the Lord. He means so much. But I want to read it to you once again from Nehemiah chapter 8, and I'm just going to read verse 10. This all begins when the children of Israel has come back, and they've come back from Babylon 70 years. A nation of people were enslaved by Babylon, and they have come back into their land, come back into their homes to rebuild those cities. And God said to them, I'm going to restore your fortunes. I'm going to give you back everything that the enemy's taken from you. And the only reason the enemy took it is because they compromised and they went after false gods and they rebelled against the true and living God. But he was merciful to them and brought them back. Can you say amen? And they were filled with joy. In fact, it overwhelmed them what the Lord had done for them. The Bible said when God turned again, speaking of this setting right here that we're getting ready to read from, this condition, when God turned again, the captivity of Zion, we were as those that dream. Can you say amen? They said it seemed too good to be true. We couldn't hardly believe it, though it was happening to us. After 70 long years, we have been set free. We are coming out of slavery. We are coming home, and we're being restored, not just to the physical material stuff and the land, but we're being restored to a relationship with God where he can be our God and we can be his people. He can protect us and provide for us, and we have a relationship with him. So this joy wasn't just based on the stuff they were getting back. It was based on the relationship that they knew they now had with God. And that is the setting that we're in. They said, then, listen to this, was our mouth filled with laughter. Has anybody here ever laughed about anything in your life? Some of us have the ability, some of us need to get it fixed. Need to get it worked on, Brother Taylor. One thing about Elizabeth, she made us laugh. And she laughed. And she had a sense of humor, but she had something more than a sense of humor. She had the joy of the Lord that strengthened her through her trials. Grace sufficient and the joy of Jesus will take you through. If you lose the joy of the Lord, it'll show. You know what the Bible said about your face? If I had a mirror, I'd give everybody one today, but, you know, I don't want anybody to go into shock while the meeting is on. Because if you saw what I see on Sunday morning sometimes, it kind of makes it hard to listen to the testimony. If your life, your face, your attitude, the atmosphere that surrounds you, remember Little Abner in the funny papers? How many old enough to remember Little Abner? You're not. You get out of it today. You still hang on. I'm young. I can't remember that far back. But we remember Little Abner. But there was this one guy, he had a cloud over him. I forgot his name. It's not a big deal, but he was a guy in the Little Abner comic. And everywhere he went, there was a cloud over his head with lightning bolts striking at him. And he lived under that cloud. lights went out at Mike's house the other day, and didn't you put up on your Facebook or somewhere, you said, I'm sitting in my room in the gloom, pondering doom, amen, because when the lights come on, he's got to grade those papers or do that work or prepare that, amen, because I know where he got that from. Something stuck, amen, long after I'm gone. When Mike has a bad day, he's going to say, I'm sitting in my room in the gloom, pondering doom. Because a lot of Christians seem to live their life that way. We sit in our room in the gloom and ponder doom when we should get out in the light and fight the good fight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. We are the light of the world. Hallelujah. But we require something from God to strengthen us. So this is the context of verse 10. It begins in Nehemiah verse 1, and Ezra the high priest stood before the children of Israel at a pulpit made of wood, and he read from the law. And as he read from the book of the law, they realized how far, as nationally and personally, they had drifted from their God, and they begin to weep bitterly. Something you don't see today is people weeping over the fact that we're not right with God. That our heart is broken. There's contrition. And it brings repentance. And they were weeping. And he looked out at those heartbroken people over how they had failed. And it was a time of grace and a time of mercy. He had brought them back not to beat them and beleaguer them, but to bless them and restore them. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, go and eat the fat and drink the sweet. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Go and celebrate. Quit weeping over your sin. Repent of your sin and then get past that and celebrate your renewed relationship with God. The devil will try to keep you. Amen. A lot of church services are not celebratory. We need to celebrate more. We need to celebrate Jesus. Sinner gets saved, what happens? Celebration in heaven. Bible said there's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner. Were you a sinner before you got saved? Well, when you got saved, it made news in heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Were you a sinner before you got saved? Yeah, ask her sometimes. She'll tell you about it. I can't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I still have trouble believing. But she was a sinner before she got saved. When she got saved, the Bible said there was joy in the presence of angels. When the prodigal son came home, what happened? Celebration. Celebration. Go and kill the fatted calf. Praise God. Because bring people in. We're going to have a celebration. I had a man come and speak to us from the Hillsborough County, trying to find foster homes for kids until they could get them adopted. And there were so many of them. He came to churches and asked churches if he could come and ask Christians if there's anyone that felt they could take on that responsibility. A lady in our church at that time started a children's home for a season. And my father-in-law and mother-in-law helped her with that. Brother Becky Short, Sister Becky Short. Amen. That's what this used to be, in fact. Before we came here, it was a children's home sponsored by the church up front at that time. And so he came and spoke to us. And he wasn't used. He was of a Catholic background. He had never been in a Pentecostal church. At first it was a shock to his system, because I was looking at him to see what he thought of our worship, which was just like it is when we have great victory. And after the service was over, after he gave his spiel, amen, he came up to me and he said, you know, I was raised Catholic. I have been away from the church for years and years and years. But he said, I have never seen such a celebration of the faith as I saw here tonight. And I thought, what a wonderful thing for someone, an outsider, to view. Most people think we're nuts, we're crazy. Can you say, man, we're over emotional? He saw a celebration of the faith. And he thought, this is appropriate. This is requisite. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Our praise should match our understanding of him. So verse 10 said, then said he unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our God. Neither be ye sorry. Yes, sorry. Listen. That sorrowful heart brings you to the place of repentance. But once you repent, God doesn't want you to pine away over your past sins. He wants you to celebrate your forgiveness. Celebrate His grace. Celebrate His mercy. Can you say amen? God is a merciful God. And He's abundant in mercy. What happened to the celebration? How many of you used to watch Let's Make a Deal on television? She don't remember that either. She must be 19. You married a baby. Can you say amen? Baby girl. Amen. Let's Make a Deal. You remember that? You want door number 3. You want, you know, and some ladies up there, she picks door number 3 and they open that door and there's a Maytag washer and dryer. Brand new Maytag. Woo! She's doing that over a washing machine. We're sitting in church. Every sin has been forgiven. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. The promise that I'll never leave you and forsake you as long as you're here. And the moment you leave here, I'll take you there and keep you forever in my presence and protection and love. Hallelujah. That beats a Maytag. You say, Brother Vimble, Pentecostals are too emotional. If you don't get emotional, if something good happens to you, you don't deserve whatever happened. God needs to give it to somebody that can appreciate it. You know, I used to love on Christmas morning to see kids with joy. My children with joy when they opened their gifts. It just thrilled me. It thrills God the same way. How do you know, Brother Vimble? The Bible said He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. Amen. He said, I will rejoice over you with singing. He's celebrating you. We should be celebrating Him. Amen. And celebrating the faith. It was so good to see a child open up a package and see something and say, wow, oh. He said, yeah, yeah. That's why we bought it. That's why we kept it secret. That's why we wrapped it up. We wanted to see the joy. Now, my grandson, we bought him something. He didn't know what it was or what it did. When he was about 5 years old, he opened a gift that we thought was, I played with it before we wrapped it. We couldn't hardly wrap it for me playing with it. It was really neat. You press this button, it made this sound, that button, it made that. I thought, this is a neat thing. I'm over there playing with it. Pamela said, let's wrap this thing. We've got to wrap it. I can't wait for him to open it so I can play with it some more. He opened it up and didn't know what it did, so he thought it didn't do anything. He looked at it and looked up and looked at his mama and said, I hate it. She said, okay, it's going back. And then he found out what it did. And then he said, oh, yeah, that's neat. That's so cool. That's so nice. The Lord looks for that celebratory attitude. He looks for people that will appreciate being right with Him. And knowing that we have that kind of relationship with Him and that there's restoration, we have been reconciled unto God. We have been reconciled unto God. On some, compassion makes a difference. They come to Christ because they sense His love. They hear about His love and their heart just melts. But others, it takes something so powerful. And yet God moves in grace. Others are as brands plucked out of the fire. That means they would have been consumed if God didn't move in a powerful, personal way to just snatch them out. Amen. If there's a piece of wood that's used to start a fire and you don't want it to burn up because the fire's already started, but the flame is already all over it, you reach in and you snatch it out of the fire and you put out the fire and you got that firebrand. Can you say amen? And some of you, in fact, I'm going to go so far as to say most of us, amen, came to God because of some powerful event where God intervened and God showed up and God got a hold of your heart, and you are as a firebrand plucked out of the fire because of God's grace, love, and mercy. Can you say amen? We've been reconciled to God for the purpose of restoration. Hallelujah. And then he wants to distinguish his people through that restoration from all the peoples of the earth. He wants them, the nations of the world, to know that you have a God and he's the true and the living God. And that God has a people and we are his people. Hallelujah. Amen. You said it, separated, sanctified, set apart. The word holy and sanctify are akin in the Greek. They both have similar meanings. They can almost have the same meaning. Because to be sanctified means to be cleansed and set apart unto God for a holy purpose. Can you say amen? Cleansed first and then set apart unto God for a holy purpose. People come here with still undecided and uncommitted about this situation called sin, and they're uncomfortable in these services because God will never let you sit there without seeking to cleanse you so he can set you apart for a holy purpose. Can you say amen? Amen. Don't fear that cleansing. There's a YouTube commercial years ago. I could never find it again, but I thought about bringing it one Sunday because I see people doing what this big German shepherd was doing. This young man, about 30 years old, it'd take a young man to do it, but he picked up this 90-pound German shepherd to take him to the bathroom for the bath in an apartment. So he started to the bathroom with this big German shepherds are very strong animals. This is a full-grown big boy. He had him, and when he hit the door of the bathroom, that German shepherd spread those hind legs and caught it on the doorpost and took those front legs and put them up here. So you got a man with a German shepherd that is locked like that, pushing back on the door to try to get him into the bathroom. Because that German shepherd didn't want no bath, no how, no way. And he had to wrestle him. I've seen YouTube videos of dogs that you had to drag. One in China, this big fuzzy dog, he played dead. He was a big, heavy, fat dog. Amen. And when the little Chinese lady went to get him, grabbed him by his front paws, he just went limp. And she dragging him. Come on. Come on. Dog didn't understand her. I didn't either. But anyway, he just played dead. I don't know Mandarin Chinese, but I'm sure the dog did know. He knew one thing, but it's bath time. In any language, they know when it's bath time. If my wife or I go to the bathroom, my dog has a hiding place under the bed, way back under. When he sees us go in there, whether we're going in to take a shower or anything else, he assumes if they go in the bathroom, they could come for me. And no matter what he's doing, he tears off and gets as far back under the bed as he can till we come out of the bathroom, go in the living room. There are people that come to church that are so afraid that God is going to call them to cleansing because they don't know what's going to happen. They feel like I won't be fulfilled if I have to walk the straight and narrow. See, they were still mourning about their sin, and God told them, quit being so sorrowful. Celebrate the fact that God has called you out from the people. He has brought you back into the promised land. He is ready now to restore everything the enemy has stolen from you. And he's going to give you something through being reconciled to him, a peace that passes understanding and a joy that cannot be suppressed by the pressures and of the last days and the pressures of life. Can you say, man, God is able to keep a promise to give you living water that you would never thirst again. But until you drink that water, water, you're going to stay thirsty. And as long as you stay thirsty, you're going to be subject to the enemy. It's going to cause you to compromise and sin to try to quench that thirst. But if you ever come for cleansing, if you ever decide, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you ever discover that sin will never satisfy you, can you say amen? If you ever find out what Jesus can do, if you come for cleansing, if you come for cleansing. And if you ever dare to pray the prayer that David prayed when his soul was sordid and sullied with sin, and David said, create in me. Oh, no. You know, he started out, he said, wash me, wash me, wash me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of your salvation. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. Something happens. See, if you're just like everybody else and you want to share Christ with somebody and you're bound by sin and you're as depressed and depraved as they are, it's going to be very difficult to have them read your bumper sticker and not look at you. Big old bumper sticker says, Jesus is the answer. And old long face up front says, don't believe it. We cancel it out. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Say, Brother Rimble, you're too emotional. You know, there are some people that have no emotion. They're right down. There's a funeral home right here at the corner. Somewhere in the back, there's a man with no emotion. Amen? He don't have no emotion. He don't get mad and he don't get glad. But I guarantee you, the people that don't get glad, they still get mad. Come on. Oh, yeah, you got some emotion. Oh, yes, sirree. There's some of you today, if I came and slapped your face, you would become very emotional. And I'm too old to fight anymore. I'm not going to do that just to prove the point. I'm not even going to slap you. Because you can whoop me. Stand up beside me. Go ahead. I want them to know you can whoop me. See what I'm talking about? I pick my battles from here on out. I want somebody short and skinny and anemic. You know why we're laughing today? Because we need it. We don't need just frivolity. We need to get dead serious about our joy. That's not a contradiction of terms. We need to get dead serious about our joy. Because the joy of the Lord is what we're going to need, especially in the perilous time in the last days. Let me show you how vital this is to victory. This word strength, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm going to give you the definition of strength, so I want you to know what God wants you to have and what you desperately and I desperately need. Would you like to know the Hebrew definition, all of it, of strength? If you looked it up in the Strong's, this is what it would say. It's the word ma'oz. Ma'oz. The joy of the Lord is your ma'oz. It means a place or means of safety. What? The joy of the Lord is a place of safety for your soul? Protection. Refuge. Stronghold. Fastness. Harbor. Refuge. And figuratively, speaking of God, human protection. God protecting someone. The joy of the Lord becomes that to you in a time when so many are falling, so many are going back. I'm telling you, this cleansing that we're talking about, it brings us to a relationship with God. And that relationship with God produces joy. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not just something for your physical man or your body. But it's righteousness. It starts with being right with God through that cleansing. But then it is peace. that righteousness produces peace. Because when you have peace with God, then you qualify for the peace of God. And the peace of God passes all understanding. Can you say, man, regardless of the circumstance, He will find you. He will give grace. He will come to you. He will pull you through. And it is joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. When I first saw that, because I'm a Holy Ghost preacher, I thought it's when God came down and touches me. Brother Bimble, why did you do that? Because I wanted to, and I'm in a Pentecostal church, and we have a reputation to uphold. Because I have the freedom to shout. Some people want to go to a church where they don't have the freedom to shout because nobody wants to shout, and that's why they can justify never showing any emotion. They're not seeking cleansing, because if they did, they'd have a shout instead of a pout. Can you say amen? Amen? You ever get right with God, you want to praise Him. You want to dance like David danced. Can you say amen? Why did David dance? Because of some emotional thing? No, because the ark of the covenant that had been lost in battle because of their compromise was now coming back to Israel. It was over there in another man's house, and everything was prospering around that place. They said, let's get that thing and bring it back here where it belongs so the whole nation can be restored. And when David knew it was lost and he saw it coming back, and they were taking it up to place it in the temple, he took off his royal robes, pulled up his undergarment. It looked like he's wearing a big white diaper. The king of Israel got before the ark and danced before the Lord with all of his might. Holy Ghost wasn't given. Can't blame it on Pentecostals. Day of Pentecost hadn't come. It's just the pure joy of the Lord. The joy of knowing God is reconciled to us. The ark is back in its place. When we pray, God's going to hear. God's going to answer. He's going to be distinguished as the true and living God. And we're going to be distinguished as His covenant people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So he danced to show before the Lord as an exhibition of his joy in his heart. And his wife was ashamed of him. Beneath the dignity of the king. People come to a Pentecostal church and experience the power of God, and then they look for a dead church so they can blend. They know there's more. They know there's more. But since they're not seeking cleansing, they can't have no more till they do. This comes by being right with God. It's not something the Holy Ghost comes. I don't know why in the world he blesses her and don't bless him. Well, she just got right with God before she came to church. And he can get right with God before. I'm not saying you're not right with God. I'm using you for an example. I'm so glad he's smiling because he's bigger than me too. Most everybody in this room is bigger than me. But God is good. And I believe in these last days, Sister Dea, we've got to get back what carried Elizabeth through her physical ailments and her spiritual ups and downs and all the other stuff that she had to bear on a daily basis. But when we came in here, she met me with a smile, and it had to be the joy of the Lord to give her the strength to do it. And when we had a spiritual service where the heaven came down and kissed the earth and we were right in the middle of the smack, amen, that's the kind she wanted to be right in the middle of. And if she heard we had one when she wasn't here, her heart just broke. Oh man, I wished I'd been there. I wished I had been there. Some of you were here. And it didn't get you. Can you say amen? But God wants you to know He has something for you crucial to you having victory. And that is the joy of your relationship with Him. When He turned again the captivity of Zion, our mouth was filled with song, our tongue with laughter. We were as them that dream, and yet it was real. Praise God. Listen to this carefully. A place of refuge, a stronghold, protection, refuge, the joy of the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:1. hurry this morning because time is going very, very quickly. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Listen, this know that in the last days perilous, we've explained that time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Tell me about it. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Did it say turn away in your Bible? Did it say affiliate? Bid them Godspeed? Turn away. Turn away. God wants to distinguish you, amen, and me as His people. Can you say amen? That's called sanctification, cleansed. It starts with cleansing, not just doing things. It starts with the cleansing of the heart, but it begins to work out into the cleansing of the life. It affects the heart first and then our behavior. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Boba Hasunda. That's what the Bible said when it said work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's let what He's done inside begin to affect you on the outside. Can you say amen? You said, brother, well, God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. Exactly. That's all they can see. So we need to let what's in us begin to affect the way we live and the way we speak. Can you say amen? And our values and our attitudes. Hallelujah. It'll be difficult to live victorious as the end approaches in a society that is so corrupted by Satan's lies and sin's unchecked destructive force. It will be tough to live for God. Can it be done? Absolutely. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. It's not going to be easy. Taking up a cross and following Jesus was never presented as a cakewalk. It involved a real, genuine commitment. But it also involved the joy of the Lord. You know, when Jesus made that deep commitment to the Father's will that would lead Him to the cross, you know what the Bible said? You know what strengthened Him for the cross? The Bible said, consider Him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be weary and faint in your own mind, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross itself while despising the shame. Who for what was it? What was the key element that strengthened Him to stay on that cross and to go to that cross? For the joy that was set before Him. The joy was His strength. How can you have joy beaten half to death on your way to be tortured to death on the cross? But He had it, and it became what God said it would do in a life that is completely cleansed and surrendered before Him. There's not a Christian martyr that ever passed away that didn't have a special grace and strength. First person that gave their life for the gospel said, I see Jesus. While they were stoning Him, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of power. Hallelujah. 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 The joy of the Lord is your strength and mine. Listen to this carefully. When I was growing up, we had lunch boxes with Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, Flash Gordon. I loved my Flash Gordon shirt. A lady in a motel that could sew bought some fabric. She knew I loved Flash Gordon. Oh, you should see the rocket. You could see the little piece of, looked like monofilament string holding it up. And the fire coming out the back was just, you know, it was so silly looking back on it. Remember Superman? How many is old enough to remember the old black and white Superman? Remember him? Yeah, you're with me. Yeah, I can relate to you. He's with me today. You know, I didn't think of it when I was a kid. You don't think of things like that. But Superman, stand there and a bad guy would come out and pull his 38. Superman stand there like this. Superman, he don't care. He know what's going to happen. He's a man of steel, going to bounce right off of him. Can you say amen? Superman standing there like that. He takes that 38 and he goes pow, 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 pow. Six shots. He's out of bullets and he goes click, 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 click. And he's looking astounded that he shot him all those times and it ricocheted off of him. Superman standing right there. Amen. And then you know what he does? He takes the gun then and he throws it at Superman. And you know what Superman does when he throws the gun? He ducks. That actor know, man, them blanks ain't going to hurt him, but he get upside the head with the 38. It's gonna It'd be awful to see old Superman brought down because somebody hit him in the head with the 38. Didn't think nothing of it. I grew up in a time when my teacher taught us about God. At school, of all places. My teacher, dedicated Christian, man, she taught us about living right. Told the girls how to wear their clothes. Some preachers won't even tell their congregations today. My teacher telling us in second grade, my first grade teacher, Mrs. Branch, and my sixth grade teacher, when we were all getting into puberty, you know, and it was time to talk to us about the facts of life. She was telling the young ladies how to be young ladies. You don't do that today. She said, you young ladies walking around here in short dresses, walking around like a spider on a hot griddle. Spider on a hot griddle? Yeah, me too. I can't visualize it. I mean, they might have pranced around, but I never seen nothing like a spider on a hot griddle. She loved God. She even came to our church just before she went home because one of her students had become a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I was glad, amen, to see her come in. Hallelujah. Mrs. Stokes came in. My first grade teacher perceived that God had his hand on me when I was in the first grade. I knew nothing about any of that. Amen. But she called my dad and mom in for a conference and she said, your son. He said, I want to talk to you about your son. Now I'm scared because I wonder what I did because I was trying to be a good guy. And I couldn't think of anything I'd done, but I must have done something because they're calling in the parents. When they got in there, she said, I just wanted to tell you that God must have his hand on your son. There's something different about your son. And I just feel like God. And you could talk about things like that in a public school. But you didn't have all that's going on in public schools. There was a teacher just this past week that was killed with a cut to pieces by a 14-year-old that she was trying to tutor and help. And it's just ongoing. These are perilous times, outrageous times that we are living in. When we pushed back the light and invited the darkness, and now that darkness is here and it's covering. So it'll be difficult to live. One translation said it'll be difficult to follow Christ in those days. Not impossible, but it takes a deep commitment. But when you make the commitment, guess what happened when Jesus said, Abba, Father, nevertheless, not what I will, but thine be done? It said, angels came. Angels came. Angels came and ministered him. They didn't take away his humanity. They didn't give him something supernatural that he didn't feel all of the pain. Because if he hadn't suffered that death, we could not have eternal life. Amen. He had to suffer it as a man abandoned of God. And that's why he prayed on the cross. Father, Eloi, Eloi, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Why hast thou forsaken me? God could not wrap his arms around him like he can wrap it around you when you're going through test and trial. God couldn't comfort him like he comforts you. He suffered and died as a man without God, fulfilling the scripture, he that knew no sin became sin, not a sinner, but treated as a sinner that he might deliver us and give us his righteousness. What a wonderful Savior. That deserves a celebration when we come together. Can you say amen? If the Bucks won one game this season, one, just one, what are we, 0-7? Not a lot of celebration. But what if we were 7-0? Headed for the Super Bowl. Got into the playoffs. Won the Super Bowl. What would be taking place in Tampa, Florida? That's exactly right. Well, I'm going to tell you something. In the middle of this old fallen world, we are promised victory through Jesus Christ. You're in the world, but not of it. Father, I do not pray that you keep them, take them out of the world because they're the witness to the world. Can you say amen? But I pray you keep them from the evil one. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. There's victory in Jesus, and it begins with cleansing. Cleansing. I got to hurry. We're almost through, which means nothing. But what if I wasn't trying? Can you imagine? The Greek word translated perilous originated from a root word that connotates, as I told you, the reducing of the strength. Strong says hard to bear, troublesome, dangerous times, hard to bear. We're in desperate need for the true joy of the Lord that brings with it the strength to overcome. In Lot's day, because of the corruption in Sodom and Gomorrah, the pressure was on him to just go ahead for the sake of commerce and material blessing to compromise with the conditions around him. And in fact, when the angel went in to get him out, he was in a compromised state. And yet he was still identified as a covenant man. He hadn't partaken of all of their sins, but he was, for the sake of making money, he put up with it. But the angel said, it's time for you to get out. From such what? Turn away. It's time to come out. Come out from among them, saith the Lord. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with Belial? Belial is another word for the devil himself. You can't consort with the devil and stand in holy communion before the Lord. We need a cleansing and we need a commitment. So listen to what he was experiencing. What was happening because of where he was living. 2 Peter 2, verse 6 through 9. It said, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It was having an effect on him in the word that God used, inspired in the New Testament. He was vexed by the culture around him. In verse 8, the Greek word vexed means to be harassed, distressed, of those at sea who are struggling with a headwind. In the nautical sense, it's a ship trying to make headway, but there's a wind blowing against it. Never forget, you are an upstream Christian in a downstream world. And if you ever get a cleansing and make a deep commitment to follow Jesus Christ, it's going to require a devotion, not just some kind of religious experience that has nothing, no depth in it. Because you don't have, listen, if you're in a current, in a stream, you don't have to decide to go back. All you have to do is decide to quit going forward. And the current will take you back. You do not have to make a conscious decision to compromise. Just quit pursuing being right with God and see what happens. You will end up compromising and going with the flow. Everybody said, go with the flow. That's what's happening right now. So many people are going with the flow. But if you get serious about your commitment to Christ and you want this joy, you come for a cleansing of that double-minded heart. and make a deep commitment to follow Jesus, and the joy of the Lord will become strength to you, a place of refuge and safety, and give you what you need to overcome in these perilous times. One of the things that breaks my heart, if I couldn't have the joy of the Lord, I would give up ministry tomorrow. You know why, Brother Taylor? So many people that come to an altar go back into this world, fulfilling the proverb, the dog has returned to his vomit. God delivers you from something, you go back headlong into it. And I watch it happen over and over again. And I watch people that had a close relationship with God drift. And when you drift from God, you're going to hunt somebody to blame. Blame the church, blame the preacher, blame God, blame somebody in your family, blame somebody on your job. Somebody's going to get the blame. But what we need to do, amen, is fess up and clean up. Can you say amen? We need to own our sin and come before God and get it forgiven and get it cleansed. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because when you get clean and you get back right with God, you eat the fat and drink the sweet, you begin to celebrate. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong. Oh, there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with getting right with God. You'd think there's something wrong with getting right with God. People run from Him when they ought to run to Him. I want to be right with God. Because when I draw my last breath, that's the one I'm going to face. I want to be able to do what Ditter did. She didn't pray this prayer, but this was in her heart. When she went to sleep that night, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I know the Lord my soul will take. Honey, can't nobody sleep like somebody that's right with God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Nobody. True story. During the Civil War. Soldier, I don't know which side he was on, but he was mortally wounded. The doctor came and said, son, I'm going to tell you, we're going to try to take off this mangled leg, but there's so many blood vessels spewing blood. You only got a 50-50 chance that even that's going to save your life. And I just want you to know before we put the ether over their face. And he cut the leg off with a saw. Some of them, they didn't even have the ether. There wasn't enough on the battlefield, and they cut it off while he was feeling all of that. He said, son, I want you to know the fact. You only got a 50-50 chance of surviving. He looked back up and said, that's all right. Do whatever you can do, doc. I'm a Christian. If I wake up here, God is with me. And if I wake up there, I'm with God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing in this world can take the place of being right with God, Brother Taylor, and having righteousness, peace, that kind of peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, in that relationship that the Holy Spirit brings us into. So in the first case, vexed meant to be harassed, distressed, of those who are at sea struggling with a headwind. What a commentary on life in the 21st century. Authentic Christians who are going to live godly in an ungodly society. We are to march against the wind, to live counterculture, and to do it with joy, to strengthen us. Philippians 2, 15 and 16 said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He said, when I see Christians making a commitment, being cleansed, standing up and being set apart, I know that what I did down here wasn't in vain. Somebody got it in their heart to follow Jesus. Paul was looking for some results. Some resolve in Christians. He didn't look for people to just go back into sin, but to follow Jesus in spite of the culture around them. And he said, if I see that, it's not been in vain. And it wasn't in vain, because some people took a hold of it, took up their cross and followed Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I've seen many go back, but Elizabeth wasn't one of them.
Hallelujah.
I've seen many go back. But I still know some folks that aren't one of them. We're not of them that turn back into perdition. We're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. We're of them. We're of a different ilk. Remember that limerick, cow is of the bovine ilk. One end is new, the other is, one end is moo, the other is milk. Can you say, man? We're not of that ilk. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Satan is not your master anymore. Praise God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. We're to be God's luminaries in a darkened world, not to be diminished by the darkness around us, but enhanced upstream Christians in a downstream world. In verse 7, the word for vexed is different. It's a different Greek word rendered vexed. Listen, to tire down with toil, to exhaust with labor, to afflict or to oppress with evils. Here again is Satan's strategy to reduce the strength. It all looks so grim, but look at verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. He said, I've got it all under control. I'm going to take care of mine. And a day is coming when justice is going to be served upon the world that has rejected salvation. But I've got it all under control. Hallelujah. And I've got you in my hand. This place of strength, this stronghold in the book of Nehemiah is only found in a right relationship with God. And this right relationship with God is only found through repentance and cleansing. Dave Wilkerson's with the Lord now. This is what he said about this. He said, most Christians never associate joy with repentance. But repentance is actually the mother of all joy in Jesus. Without it, there could be no joy. Yet any believer or congregation who walks in repentance will be flooded with the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. What is missing, he said, in multitudes of churches today is the thing most needed by the lost. Genuine, soul-satisfying joy. Those weeping Israelites of Nehemiah's day were tapping into the joy of the Lord's forgiveness and restoration. So Matthew Henry commented on that particular portion of Scripture. He said, anybody got on your shouting shoes? Did you bring them even to church? I tell you, if you don't have you on your shouting shoes, just take off your shoes so you have shouting feet. Listen, this is what Matthew Henry said. Let's get theological for a minute, but it's such joyous theology. He said, after they had wept, they rejoiced. Holy mourning makes way for holy mirth. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those that tremble at the conviction of the word may triumph in the consolations of it. Can you say, man? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! You better come before I take my shoes off. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Warsaw, Poland, everybody say Warsaw, Poland. There's a Holy Ghost revival in Europe that's been so dead for so long. Just one touch from the King changes everything. Can you say, man? In Warsaw, Poland, there is a revival among young people. There is a youth revival in Warsaw, Poland. Not long ago, part of that whole communistic, not so much Poland itself, but the attitude of atheism and old orthodoxy without any presence and power, a form of godliness that denied the power thereof. But there's a move of the Holy Spirit in Warsaw, Poland. Praise God. I just want to share what the Lord is doing today around the world, because we're still preaching to the nations of the world as we witness to this community. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many are going to pursue the joy of the Lord because you know you needed it, how crucial and critical it is? How many will begin with cleansing of the heart? Hallelujah. How many want your heart to be clean so that He can restore to us the joy of our salvation? Hallelujah. Let's give him praise today. Everybody say Warsaw, Poland. Hallelujah.
Are you ready to throw down?
Yes, we are.
Let's celebrate.
Let's celebrate. Why am I not surprised that there's a black man leading the choir?